I hate when my husband works late, being at home, alone at night, hearing every little creak. It's uncomfortable. I thought I was just being paranoid, then my girlfriend said she felt the same way when her husband travels. Until they had what she calls their Vivint talk. Vivint, my friend calls it the best home security system out there. It's super easy to use and fit right into our budget, and I love my video cameras. I can see what's going on in and around my home right from my computer or smartphone. It's actually kind of funny. I told my husband, if you're going to be traveling or working late, I'm getting Vivint. And it's made all the difference.
Call now. Not only is installation free, you'll get up to $1,500 worth of Vivint security cameras and equipment today at no charge. Seriously, $1,500. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Call 877-776-3430. 877-776-3430. 877-776-3430. Restrictions apply. 48 or 60-month agreement at minimum $49.99 per month required. Not available in Louisiana. See Vivint.com for license numbers.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Jan Jaffe, and I am delighted to be your host today on the Life Coach Radio Network, a part of Blog Talk Radio. I'm especially excited today to be working again with two of my favorite co-hosts on this topic of utmost importance, a topic which affects so many of us in multiple ways. As I mentioned, my name is Jan Jaffe, and I'm a graduate of Northwestern University, from which I hold both my bachelor's and master's degrees. I'm also proud to be an IPEX certified professional coach, Energy Leadership Index master practitioner, and a core well-being dynamic specialist. I had a successful international career as a concert and opera singer and voice and masterclass teacher, which was cut short by traumatic brain injuries. The TBIs, as they're called, drastically altered my life. I lost language for 6 weeks and was thrilled after 4 months when I was finally able to walk with the aid of a walker. My recovery took many, many years and was extremely difficult. But as a result, I've come to discover many things about myself and life. Namely, what it is to lose oneself, definition, career, and purpose in life and feel totally lost, that there is great strength in vulnerability, that there can be great opportunity and challenge, strengths I had never known I had, the true meaning of resiliency, and that I'm very good at picking myself up, dusting myself off, and hurling myself forward. I don't mean to make it sound as though any of this was easy, however. With Forward to Success, I am dedicated to helping professional women achieve optimal success, realization of their potential, and passion, purpose, life balance, and well-being in every aspect of their lives. You can contact me at info@forwardtosuccess.com. With the recent disasters in Nepal and the storms in Texas, we are reminded of the fragility of life and that each day is a gift. Often we chase after things that, in light of recent tragedy, seem to accessorize rather than define who we are. And one of the things that defines and creates character is how we respond to tragedy. How someone defines personal tragedy is subjective, but a cancer diagnosis is generally viewed as a life-altering moment. We can no longer view our good health in the same way and find ourselves immediately in touch with our own or loved one's mortality. Today, I am thrilled to once again be joined by my two brilliant colleagues, Gina Costa and Kathy Aquino, who are both not only expert coaches, but also highly versed in the world of cancer as caregiver and survivor. In today's show, we are discussing steps and strategies to manage and navigate the journey from diagnosis through treatment and beyond recovery to maintenance. Our show today is entitled Part 2 of How to Thrive When Faced with a Cancer Diagnosis. And now it is my great pleasure to introduce my co-hosts. Gina, please tell our listening audience a little about yourself.
Hey, Jan and Kathy. I am just so happy to be here with you guys as well. And, you know, I just love what you have, what you both have to bring to the table and all the knowledge that you share and everything that I'm gaining from you. I think you ladies are just amazing. So my name is Gina Costa, and I have been in the shoes of a caregiver. I'm also a breast cancer survivor. I am also an IPEC certified life coach and Energy Leadership Index Master Practitioner. I'm the owner of New Beginnings Coaching Services, LLC. And what I do in my business is I help survivors and caregivers, you know, those affected by a diagnosis of cancer. What I do is I help them cope with the emotional and physical challenges they experience so that they can regain confidence and control of their lives once again. And as you mentioned, Jan, you know, any diagnosis or life-altering event can, you know, really turn your world upside down. And it's really, you know, trying to bring that right side up and just figuring out what choices, you know, you want to make and how you want to live life moving forward. And, you know, as you said, Jan, you know, life is very fragile. And, you know, a lot of times when we're faced with a diagnosis or other life-altering event, it really gives us a new perspective to step into on how we want to move forward in living our lives. So that's what I help my clients get clarity around, and, you know, just going through and accepting each part of the journey. So I'm so happy to be here with both of you, and I'm ready to get started.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much, Gina. You are amazing, and you're such an inspiration to everyone who hears you every time you speak. So thank you. I'm delighted to have you here. And Kathy, please introduce yourself.
Sure. Thanks, Jan. I'm so happy to be here with you and Gina today. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. As both of you are, I am. My name is Kathy Aquino, and I'm a certified coach, just like both of our other ladies on the show, also certified in the Energy Leadership Index Master Practitioner. And I'm also a consultant, and my practice is called Courage to Lead. I help people who are looking to maintain their health, or maybe they're already combating a health challenge, or they're working with a loved one who is. I offer consulting to help people become familiar with the benefits and drawbacks of Western medicine and complementary care, and how to advocate for themselves or their loved one. I offer coaching to help clients work through the negative thoughts and emotions that can affect their health or that develop while they're struggling with these health challenges. I have a master's degree in education, 20 years teaching health and advocacy, and life coach training through the highly respected Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching. I've worked not only as a paid advocate, but also with family members, including my husband as he battles cancer. I also offer coaching for small business owners, such as fitness trainers, yoga teachers, doulas, midwives, etc., people that are feeling like they're not profitable or they're overwhelmed in their business. Through coaching, they learn what unintentional messages they are conveying and how it causes them to attract a certain type of client and create unnecessary challenges. I help them review their communication with clients and their business setup and see where they may be able to make changes that reflect what they really want, so they can concentrate on making their clients happy and satisfied. I've seen how devastating not leading in your own choices can be, and I'm passionate about helping people regain their vitality and a sense of control in their health or their business. You can reach me at my website. The business is called Courage to Lead, and the website address is courtolead.com, or you can call me at 810-447-0565. Thanks so much, Jan.
Oh, thank you, Kathy. Again, I mean, I am so fortunate to have the both of you together and to be working together with you. It's like a giant love and information fest, and I hope our listeners are going to enjoy this show as well, because although it's a very serious topic, it affects so many of us and more of us in one way or another. So I would, on that note, I would like to invite our listeners to call in with any questions or comments they may have. We welcome your calls and contribution to our discussion. The number here to call is 646-716-9397. Again, that number is 646-716-9397. So on our previous show, we engaged in a conversation around the feelings both caretakers and survivors experience during the pre-diagnosis phase and diagnosis itself. We also discussed how caretakers can best serve the cancer patient. Today, our topic concerns mental and emotional challenges, diagnosis, and the ensuing treatments. So it is said that cancer changes you forever. The you in this statement can apply to both cancer patient and caretaker. Depending upon the connection to family, extended family, and community, the long-range effect of the diagnosis can be staggering. As coaches, we know that health comprises more than physical well-being. Good health requires health in body, mind, and spirit, and emotional health can take a beating with illness and a cancer diagnosis. So with this in mind, what are some ways of dealing with the mental and emotional challenges of a cancer diagnosis and the ensuing treatment? Kathy, how about you starting with this?
Okay. I thought maybe you'd start with Gina since she'd been on both perspectives, but yeah, no problem. let me just give a little brief backup too, so that people have an idea of the depth of challenge that I'm working with my husband. He was just diagnosed this last September, so it's been less than a year. And In my previous background before, when I was younger, my father died of a very fast-acting brain cancer. So my mindset was, and I'm very much into health. It's just a part of my lifestyle has been the whole time. You know, I've been an adult. It's very important to me, probably because of my background. And so I always figured there'd be somebody, myself or somebody close to me would get cancer because it's just so prevalent in our society. What I didn't expect is that it would be so serious. So there are types of cancer that that are, you know, the word cancer always strikes fear in people. It's nobody likes any kind of cancer diagnosis, but certainly there's types of cancer you catch real early. There may be perhaps in a part of your body that you could remove, and it wouldn't be, you know, as deadly. So there's, you know, there's a range of things. Well, my husband's was the kind of cancer that generally people would get after they'd already metastasized, which if you're unfamiliar with that word, that would be perhaps you have cancer of the breast, and then it cannot be caught, or it keeps rampaging, or it comes back after many years, and then it goes to another set of organs or in more internal that are whole system-wide, so such as your lymph or your blood or your bones or something. And that's what my husband's turned out to be. It turned out to be in his bones, and it's only 1% of cancer cases have this. He also had, on top of that, as we came to find out in the next few weeks, really a very, very grave diagnosis. He fell into the 20% of that 1% that has a very aggressive disease, and it is a fatal disease. So that's a lot to take in when you first get your diagnosis. And it was a rough time for a number of months, and we both had to kind of let that settle in and figure out what was going on. And I would say probably the most important thing I can say to anybody out there who is going through something similar is the most important thing is stay in the moment, because all of us could kind of go crazy. And I'm just talking in our general life with just small things that come up daily, not a major thing like this, that, you know, we can either obsess about the past or we can worry about the future. And neither one of those things does anything for the now. It just ruins the now for us. So I think staying in the moment is the most important thing I could tell you. It is not easy to do. It's a learned skill. You have to keep working at it constantly, but I find that really helps me, because if I start worrying about what could come all the time, it's going to ruin the now. So that's number one. I'd say keep up the gratitude. So even though we have a very terrible diagnosis, I'm constantly thankful for the good things that have come about. Good things are that my husband still feels well and he's working. Good things are he needs a stem cell transplant, but we were one of the lucky ones that found a very good matching donor. So I can think of a lot of things that I can be grateful for many times, because there's always people worse off than you. And I would say that just having your attitude of both people, keeping that up, having an optimistic outlook is very, very important, and studies have been done. There was a study by Dr. Margot Kurtz from Michigan State University. She found that people undergoing chemotherapy that had optimistic outlooks were able to feel less pain that were associated with their cancers. So those things, I think, are maybe top on the list that I would tell people.
Wow, that's really great stuff, Kathy. And, of course, your story, if anyone has not heard it, is quite impressive. I hate to use that word in this, but it is, because especially with the dignity and the strength and the resiliency that you demonstrate in how you move forward, and, of course, all of the information that you haven't shared on this particular moment about everything that you're doing in the alternative health realm, which that's also another word that sometimes gets abused, but the homeopathic realm, in which you are, in addition to regular medical, standard medical Western treatments, you're also supporting your husband's health and physical resiliency with as much homeopathic support as is possible, and your research into all of that has helped him maintain his strength as best as possible, and his ability to continue working and moving forward with your support, the homeopathic support, and then everything you've mentioned, which I just wanted to acknowledge here, which is, you said, basically stay in the present moment, because now is all that ever is. And living with gratitude, being aware of gratitude, because as we know, that actually affects how affects our own energy and how we look at life and our ability to move forward with strength and our ability to be resilient. And then the optimistic attitude, which, as you stated, research has proven is really important and beneficial to our own health, our own good health, and our ability to battle things like this. So thank you so much for your comments. I mean, I think they're very, very, very helpful, and you're an amazing woman. Whether you're very humble, but you are an absolutely amazing woman. And I'm so sorry for everything that you're going through, and I know that everybody wishes you and your husband well. And everybody will be eager as well to hear the continuing series, as I'm pretty sure we're going to go on with this series. So, Gina, I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, so what I would, my background is I was caregiver to my mom, who was diagnosed with a late stage ovarian cancer, you know, and the prognosis wasn't very good, but she managed to, you know, live a life for about 5 years after that. And my own diagnosis, you know, fortunately I was diagnosed with an earlier stage invasive breast cancer. So I kind of have, you know, different views from both of those experiences. But my message, you know, to my clients or to our listeners out there, and really this doesn't just apply to a cancer diagnosis, but I was just thinking about it as we were kind of talking, you know, we can apply this, so many people who aren't affected by diagnosis can just apply this stuff to their own life, And I think for me, the first thing that comes up is to allow the feelings and emotions to come up. You know, when we get a diagnosis, no matter what it is or, you know, what stage or, you know, where it's going, so many thoughts and emotions come up, fear, anxiety, despair, you know, where is this going? What's my life going to look like? And I think, you know, as human beings, we have to allow ourselves to experience those feelings, you know, and kind of go through them and process them, even though it's not, may not be necessarily a very nice place to be. But I think just having that experience and allowing ourselves to be with those feelings ultimately gets us to a place where we're able to accept the reality of those feelings. And it kind of helps to soothe or to quell that feeling of overwhelm. So, you know, allow your feelings, process them, accept them, and then, you know, move on with what the reality is. And then, as Kathy said, you know, live in the moment each day with those. And what I see as a very key and important part to all of this is exercising self-love for men and women, women especially, and men as well. You know, we always feel like we need to be doing something for somebody else at every given moment, even though we may have be in crisis ourselves. But to just kind of stop and let go of things and realize that we can love ourselves the way that we love others, and to allow ourselves to accept that and receive that for ourselves. So self-love, self-care, you know, setting the time aside to really take care of ourselves and getting or asking others to step up in our lives so that they can do things that we can't during the journey. And basically, you know, again, just going through it on a daily basis and setting intentions along the way of each step that you want to take. And, you know, just because you say you're going to do something tomorrow and you don't feel good the next day doesn't mean that you have to do that or, you know, you have to feel bad or be hard on yourself. You know, we can make adjustments in this journey, and we have to, you know, just kind of be with where we're feeling in the present moment. And if we're tired and that means laying down on the couch and taking a nap, well, that's okay. You know, and if it means going ahead with our plans for whatever, you know, we planned our day, then that's okay too. But just just being okay and, you know, just being present in every moment so that we don't, you know, kind of bring judgment, either it's self-judgment or, you know, other emotions which, you know, can cause us to blame others or get angry, you know, and have other emotions come up. And really, I think, is really to just, it might sound a little bit crazy, but just to kind of, I mean, it's not a place where most of us want to be, but just to allow the growth and learning that comes in when we have to deal with an illness like cancer. And, you know, just to allow ourselves to be open to whatever is. And, you know, Kathy, I agree with you on the alternative medicine, but I also agree that the alternative and the medical, you know, or the conventional medicine, you know, can play different parts, and there are, you know, times and needs for each of them. And, you know, I think we just really need to step into our power and see what it is that's going to serve us the best on our journey.
Well, you've mentioned so many things, Gina. I mean, just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful tools for everyone to take into, you know, to think about and to use, such as allowing the feelings to come up and process, accept them, and move on. Allowing feelings to come up, I know for me and for a lot of people, can be difficult. Because sometimes we find ourselves numb and realizing we're shut down and wondering why, and that will just kind of creep up on us. when we're dealing with something that is very painful. I mean, not about ourselves necessarily, but about a loved one. If a loved one has been diagnosed, we're watching them become ill. We're watching them waste away. I have to talk about my own situation. I have two loved ones who have been diagnosed. One had surgery in January, and he's doing rather well at this point. But, you know, he's a patient at Sloan Kettering, and there are more tests to come to see now if how everything is, if there's any signs of cancer left, if there will be any procedures or any treatments in the future. The other one was my ex, and we're still very good friends. And he just had his third surgical procedure last month, and the recovery this time was not so good. And watching him, he has pancreatic cancer, and watching him waste away, and watching him, seeing him as thin, he's frighteningly thin. And he's one of these people that just moves forward. He refuses to live in despair. And watching him go through this with his strength and going back to work after 4 weeks home, it's so inspiring. But at the same time, I realized I'm totally numb. And realized it's a survival, an old survival technique of mine, because I guess when the feelings are so overwhelming that I shut down because I'm not sure that I can deal with the sadness. And so what I've been doing lately is working at connecting. I realized I was living in my head. And this is one of the things that I believe the both of you are referring to when you talk about feelings and allowing the feelings to come up. And sometimes that we feel our feelings in our bodies. And being shut down, which is and numb, which is a very common occurrence for caretakers who feel like we have to move forward. We have to move forward. And it's not a matter of being a victim or being at the effect of something. It's a matter of just kind of like you're in a car. And there's a storm outside, and you just roll up the windows. You do everything you need to do. You don't get upset. You just move forward. You need to say, maybe get your family home or whatever. And maybe afterwards, down the road, you may suddenly feel, oh, my God, after it's all over, you're shaking because you didn't have time to deal with the emotions at the time. But it really isn't good for people who are caretakers to function in this way because those feelings mount up and then we also are not exercising self-care. So, Gina, one of the things that I wanted to ask you about this process that you spoke about is allowing feelings to come up, process them and accept them and move on. And you do this so well because in everything in your life that you deal with, every big thing, and you've had so many, especially recently, you always are able to access your feelings and continue to move on. And you do this so well. You process them. You're so strong and resilient. Can you please maybe elaborate a bit on how you do this? Gina?
Oh, maybe her call dropped.
Okay, so Kathy. Yeah, I don't see her call having dropped, but Kathy, how about you?
I'm sorry, I got so flustered. Can you repeat the question?
It's about allowing feelings to come up and process and accept them, I know I've been having a challenge with this recently and didn't even realize. I thought, well, I'm just handling things well. I'm being strong and was kind of aware of some sadness. But suddenly realizing, oh, my gosh, I'm not. And there was almost a fear that if I feel all of these feelings, that I won't be able to do what I need to do. You have some wonderful tools that you know, and we all as coaches have some wonderful tools. I don't stay in victim. I'm good at that. I'm not. I do, and I move forward. I practice gratitude a lot on a daily basis, almost on a moment-to-moment basis. Set intentions. I look to celebrate each little thing, you know. But then I realized, oh my God, I'm numb. I'm disconnected from my body. And I know that Kathy, you are excellent at moving forward and dealing with your feelings at the same time, living with them, you know, and working through all of this. And it's not that you're numb. You're amazing. No. So I'd like to know, and I'm sure that there are a lot of people out there who have some challenge, as I've had recently, with accessing those when we feel we have to move forward and we have a lot to do.
Yeah. So you and Gina both mentioned really important things about feelings, and I think something you kind of put together, but they were in two separate thoughts, which is important for people to understand if they're not familiar with this, is when a person might be bottling up like you are, that is, as you said, our feelings show up in our body. So that's that kind of way of kind of stuffing your feelings is going to show up in your physical body, and you may end up constipated or with all kinds of GI issues because your food is just slowing down. Everything slows down. That's just one example of how not releasing those emotions could show up physically, and then your health is really beginning to suffer, which only exasperates the situation. So, yeah, you have to, first of all, it's a time thing. So when you first hear the diagnosis, you can't expect to be into a better place immediately. It's going to take a bit of time, and you have to go through similar things that people go through when they process a grief experience. But so a little bit of time needs to move forward, and then you need to realize, and start to try to put your finger on what is it that I'm feeling. Am I worried? Am I sad? Am I, what's the main feeling that you're having a problem with? If you are so blessed that you have some people in your life that you can speak to already, perhaps you already have a coach relationship. Maybe you have a pastor or a religious figure in your life you can speak with. Maybe sometimes friends and family can be terrific. Sometimes they're too emotionally connected, and they may not be able to be the best person for you to talk to, because that's why coaches can be so wonderful, because we can be emotionally removed from the situation and just allow people to talk and vent. And that alone sometimes is really cathartic for people. So I found one of the things I found is and I'm sure Gina can, when we get her back on the line, which I'm sure we will, but she probably can address this better, because she's been in both shoes. But I think that the feelings are different for the person that's experiencing it versus the caregiver. And that was something I really had to learn, because when we went into crisis mode and we found out what was going on, my instinct was to immediately kind of go to a Zen healing place. And I would have dropped everything in my life and gathered all my loved ones around me and eaten wholesome food and just gone to like meditation kind of thing all the time. And doing really healing things for my body. And that was definitely not my husband's way of dealing with it. And since then, I have talked to many different men, et cetera, and I had to just allow him to do what he needed to do. And what he needed to do was continue to work. And his he finds a sense of camaraderie at work. It builds his self-esteem. It allows him to feel a sense of normalcy in his life. And I've since found that a lot of men have said to me, yeah, that is a kind of a therapy, just going to work and having their normal life. So that may be something that somebody, that's the way they deal with things.
Oh, it looks like we have a caller. So let me join them in. Hang on one second, everybody. Hello? Caller, have you joined us?
Hi, this is Deborah.
Deborah, hi. Thank you.
Hi, I was just calling to let you know. I know you're having a technical challenge, but it's all good. I can hear you.
Oh, great. Okay, because my dashboard said, yes, I can hear you, Gina. My dashboard said that we had been disconnected. The show was over. I was looking into the technical aspects. So thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I'm so glad you're listening. So thank you. I guess everybody has heard now what goes on behind the scenes.
There you go.
Thank you so much. Did you, other than that, did you have anything you wanted to contribute to the show today, Deborah?
I just wanted to say I'm loving the format, and I love what you're talking about, getting into the mindset of people and their families who are going through the challenge is education that we all need. So I just want to thank you guys for just standing in your truth and holding up the light until the rest of us can kind of get there.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you so much. Has this topic touched your life in any way, Deborah?
Absolutely. My husband had cancer, and it changed our lives overnight. And so just to walk with him through that journey, and how men walk through the journey sometimes can be, and the type of support that they need, sometimes it's still very, very different than what women need. And I just really resonated with that piece about, they were talking about a little bit before, about just finding normalcy. He just needed to be able to do some of the things that he used to do so that he could feel that normalcy in his life.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, wow. Deborah, that's what you just brought up. First of all, I'm so sorry. I hope your husband's doing well now. How is he now?
Yes,
he is. Oh,
he's doing quite well. Thank you for asking.
Oh, well, thank you so much for sharing. And I love what you just shared, because, you know, that is really, that's a whole show in itself about the differences in the way that, first of all, that men deal with this than women. And, of course, everybody is different, but there are some differences, and of course, and how, in the different ways in which we can support them, because that is a huge topic. And men, of course, process emotions much differently than women do because of the way that we start our lives, the way that we're raised. Men and women are very different. Boys are taught, you know, don't cry, don't be, you know, just man up, that kind of thing. And women live with emotions. And of course, hormonally, we feel emotions all the time. But so that aspect is something that, that's a huge topic, and I would love to visit that topic, perhaps if not in this show, in a later show, because that is tremendous. Actually, Gina, I'm curious. I know we're going to get back to what we were talking about before we had all the technical difficulties, but you've dealt with both, you know, caretaking women and also well, I guess I'm not sure if you've dealt caretaking men, but you know, and Kathy, you've had men in your life with cancer whom you've caretaken, and I myself have caretaken men with cancer, and I, you know, it also had been a bit of a surprise to me in the way that they dealt with it differently than, say, my own. I had my own challenge some years ago. I was a patient for a few years at Sloan Kettering, and fortunately, I'm fine, and I'm fine now. But the way that men and women deal with it is actually very different. So, does anybody, or actually maybe Deborah, since we have you on the phone, and what was your take on how men differ from women in their needs as cancer patients?
Well, the thing that struck me first of all is when they receive the information or the factor that they are maybe at the beginning stages of receiving information about a diagnosis, they may not necessarily come home with the same impact. They kind of, sometimes they can say, my husband said it very casually. And so I was busy, and I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't catch it. And so it wasn't until he started saying things differently, which was maybe some 3-4 weeks later, and now we're in the midst of going to different specialists, then my senses completely changed, and I felt really bad because I didn't hear him. Here, you want to be there for someone, you want to support them, but they don't really tell you what their needs are, so therefore, just don't hear them. So as soon as I did hear him, we dropped into action mode, okay, because that's just sometimes who we are as women. You know, we want to get this thing done.
Right.
But then we got into, instead of processing things rationally, his whole feeling was, I just want to get this over with. I just want to get this over with. Instead of, let's make the best decision for the long run. And so seeing him process very differently from the man that I knew was a surprise to me.
Wow. That is huge, what you just said. Because, again, men are very linear. They tend to be much more linear. They want to find the solution. As women, we all know that if we want to talk to a man about a problem, their instinct as men, and they may respond differently because maybe they understand women and men better, you know, so maybe they know that we need to communicate. We each, as different genders, tend to communicate differently. But in general, men, if you start to talk about a problem with a man and you want to process the way that we do with other women, you know, get our feelings out, right? And men want to immediately find a solution. So when they're the one that needs help, they're in their own head trying to figure out if, first of all, if they're accepting what's happening, because something is out of their control. And they're trying to find, what's the straight line? What do I do to move forward? And so they're processing all of that kind of silently and inwardly, which is not really, it's not the way that women tend to process. And they may not be able to really ask for help until they realize through this process that they're going to need some help. And it's not a natural thing that men do, at least from my experience and from all my research, because I did not grow up with brothers. So it sounds like this might have been part of it, plus maybe his own inability, because I've discovered this with my own situations in caretaking the men in my life who have cancer. One of them was in total denial. Just heard, I was with him when he got the diagnosis, and hearing that it had already metastasized. The doctor had not used the word cancer. He talked about masses and the masses in his liver. And, you know, I heard this, and it's shocking. So at first you're in shock when you hear it, but also if you're not hearing the words cancer, especially if you're the patient, sometimes it's really hard to accept and for it to be real. So had I not been there at the doctor's office, I don't know when I would have actually heard the news, because it could have been months. It was months before he was even able to say, I have cancer. So I think that's part of what you're saying too, is just their way of processing it and asking for help is so very different from our way as women.
Yeah, this is Kathy. I had recently, in the last year, heard a lecturer speaking about the different hormones. We're all familiar with the fight or flight hormone, adrenaline, that would, you know, that kicks in when we have, and we're greatly fear-based, or something, you know, we're afraid of harm. And I guess a more recent discovery in our set of hormones is something that women have, and they call it the tend and befriend hormone, which is kind of a sister hormone to the, and it's what we tend to go to as females more often when there is an alarm. And the lecturer explained it kind of as if you were in a wagon train going out west and there was a fear of somebody coming attacking, and they would draw the wagons into a circle so that everybody, you know, put all the women and the children in the center, kind of drawing all your resources together. And they have found that that's what women tend to do. And it's a protective mechanism for ourselves and our children. And, you know, men don't really do that so much. So I noticed talking about, you know, how Deborah said that she didn't hear him. And I could see that that could come up because of the way that men communicate. I happened to be with my husband when he heard the news, but he, like your friend, Jan, didn't want to hear it. He really, you know, he heard it, but he didn't really want to hear it. And we had to make the difficult decision to, we have children, we're parents. We had to make that decision to tell our children immediately and along with our parents out of respect for knowing how they would feel about us. And so we had to make those calls immediately, and they were very hard to make. But beyond the most immediate circles, it was very hard to say those words and keep repeating them over and over. And my husband was pretty much wasn't telling anybody anything. And one more thing to be grateful for, he has a absolutely terrific God-placed boss in his life right now that this man had undergone cancer himself 5 years ago. And so he seemed to have a sixth sense every time we were in the doctors or something was coming up, and he was just wonderful and so supportive. And finally, I think my husband needed to hear this from another guy and you know, in his work environment. So his boss said to him, I think you need to start breaking the news to people because they're starting to ask questions. And he said, I think when you share what's going on, they're going to be totally in your corner. And so my husband started to do that little by little. I think it was really hard at first, and each one was a little easier. And I think what he was surprised by is the amount of support that he got from almost, I mean, there was a few people that just, it must have triggered in the wrong way. Who knows what was painful in their past, and they just couldn't deal with it very well. But by and large, most people immediately were very supportive and began talking about someone in their own life that had been through it or was going through it. And I think that was very helpful for him as a guy.
Wow, I love what you just said. That is so important, and I think it really, really is important for men to have that male support, to be able to hear it from their perspective, the male perspective, But that's wonderful. I just realized, first of all, I wanted to say to Deborah, we've co-opted you onto the show. We would be delighted to have you stay if you want to stay, but if you want to leave, I don't want you to feel that you have to stay. So it's totally up to you. I'll give you a moment to think about it. In the meantime, I'm sorry?
Thank you for having me. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to listening to you guys over my device. But thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And thank you so much for calling in and letting us know that we were back on the air.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. So now I wanted to acknowledge our fantastic sponsor. And here on the Life Coach Radio Networks, we are proud to have as our sponsor, Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet, offering customers a new way to enhance and enrich their lives every day. Audible is the preeminent provider of spoken word audio products, which include more than 100,000 audio programs from more than 1,800 content providers. Receive a free audiobook with your 30-day trial when you sign up with Audible today at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. Audible.com, making listening a tool for life. And now back to our show. My goodness, this has been a very interesting show with the show dropping for a bit, and now we're back. So I would really love to get to you, Gina, with the question I had before when we lost you somehow. the technical gremlins. We lost you when I was asking about how you do access your feelings and manage to process, you know, let them come up, process and accept them, and then be able to move on. So how do you do that when you know, so well, because as I was saying, this numbness that I realized I felt when someone asked me, how do you feel? And I realized I didn't know. I could not access those feelings. I could not. And it seemed to be a disconnect from my body. And it wasn't a matter of being a victim or being, you know, it was just a matter of being in forward throttle mode, and basically doing what had to be done. So if you can share with our audience, our listening audience, how you do, and you do this so well, allow your feelings to come up and process them and accept them without falling apart and moving forward.
Well, as I was starting to say before, when you guys couldn't hear me, I talk about this stuff, and I almost wanted to jump in afterwards because, you know, I can talk about it and make it seem so easy, but it's really not easy. And there are times when I fall apart, and I do fall apart. I think really the whole thing is really to just having these experiences over and over throughout our life, and realizing it's okay to have these feelings. In other words, for me, I think it would be different or is different for everyone because everyone has a different background or, you know, whatever. But for me, I think it comes from going back to old beliefs and kind of turning those upside down. So for me, you know, expressing myself as a child probably wasn't that easy for me. But then, you know, when you come to a place when you start realizing it's okay to have these feelings and to express them and to have your voice heard, that, you know, it's really a process and it's not as easy as I make it sound. But to just kind of allow yourself to, you know, so you're feeling whatever, you're feeling, you know, in a very low energy and, you know, you don't know what to do about it and you want to quickly get out of it. Well, the answer is not to get quickly out of it. It's maybe to just kind of stay in that feeling for a little bit and allow yourself to be sad, to be anxious, to be worried, and then to sort of process it in your own way and figure out, you know, kind of where you want to go with it. I mean, just like in coaching. So I'm in this funky space. Do I want to stay here or do I want to take an action step to move forward? Or, you know, just to ask yourself questions. Well, why am I feeling this way? And, you know, is it true for me? And does it have to do with someone else? And, you know, what is the whole experience going on? So really just to kind of put, and I don't know if this makes any sense, but really to just own the feelings that you're having yourself and kind of process them and basically trying to figure them out to allow yourself to get to a higher energy. I don't know if that's clear, but I think, again, it's just a process over and over of just kind of going through this and, you know, realizing it's okay to feel, you know, like you don't want to run around the block and, you know, have a party. I mean, just to kind of be in those moments so that you can get to higher moments. It's, you know, in other words, we would have no highs in life if we didn't experience the lows. So when we have the lows, let's experience them so that we can get to the higher places. Mm. For me, it's just, you know, it's just a place to grow and to learn and acknowledge and really to go within and to find out where all this stuff is coming from. And then to, I think, just use your inner drive and determination to take it to wherever you want it to be or go or to look like. Again, I don't know if that's clear, but I think everyone probably has their own process around it.
Wow. I mean, you are very clear, and I thank you. That was beautiful. It was a beautiful explanation, and it gives me a lot of insight. I think, you know, just you're saying that, you know, allowing the feelings to come, examine how you're feeling, and also you know, examining what you're feeling, you know, where did that feeling come from? Do I have any limiting beliefs around it or assumptions, or is there history with this? I know in my own case, I've had to work with trying to see how my body feels, because my body, I've been disconnected, and there's that concern that if I feel that feeling, will I be able to continue on doing what I need to do? When I feel something overwhelming and I just shut down from it because it's an old habit, which I've had to utilize. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. And I what I was going to say was, I think fear comes up sometimes too. So we're afraid to be in that space. So we have to say to ourselves, okay, it's okay to be in this space. It's not going to be forever. But what can I, like you just said, what can I gain? What insight can I get from being in this space? And, you know, that it's okay. No one's going to yell at us for being in that space or not being, you know, ecstatic at a time when, you know, we really have no reason to be ecstatic.
Absolutely. I know for myself, what I've come to realize, and this has been a process I've been working on recently, is I had not been sleeping and was trying to figure out why I was waking up, why I was finding I was so tight and stressed and my mind wouldn't stop. And it's just having overwhelming feelings that I couldn't even seem to attach to, and having to actually try to get back in touch with my body. What am I feeling in my body? Why, you know, as I'm trying to sleep, I realize my face is all tense and tight. And what is going on because of that concern, or maybe even fear, that although I don't feel afraid, but again, you know, when you're shut down, when you're trying to survive and accomplish and kind of be the, not the savior, but the caretaker or the strong person, especially when it's such a habit that I've come to utilize with my experiences over, you know, the past, I don't know, much of my life, sometimes you find, okay, that may have worked for some things, but it's a habit and it's not serving me. Ultimately, it's taking a toll on me. So this is part of the self-care process. I loved what you were talking about with self-care and self-love, because this seems to fit into that. So
right.
How
and
do
all,
you...
Go ahead. I was going to say, Jan, also to... Go ahead.
No, please say what you were going to say, please.
Yeah, what I was going to say was also, like you said before, so how do I not fall apart? Well, allowing ourselves to fall apart, and that it's okay to fall apart. And, you know, if we do fall apart, we can pull ourselves back together again. I mean, we're human, right?
Right. Absolutely. And I was going to say, what kind of ways do you, and this is for you and Kathy, what kind of ways do you manage to practice, not just in action, but also in your inner world, how you practice self-care and self-love? This is to the both of you, whoever wants to jump in.
Kathy, would you like to go first?
Sure, Gina, thanks. I've been really, I've been very aware of that this year, taking care of myself, because if I fall apart, as most women, I have a family, and so I am the person that takes care of everyone. So I cannot fall apart because everybody else will fall apart. So I realized I needed to take care of myself. So I would say the things that I've done that are most important to me, I tend to be the kind of person, I don't tend to get too depressed generally. I tend to get wound up. I have more anxiety than I would have depression. So knowing that, I needed to take steps that for myself calm my spirit. So the things that I have done that have been very helpful this year is I spend time, either quiet time or time in prayer. that is very important to build my faith and my belief that things happen for a reason, and that I feel grounded in that area in my spirit. And then I've done things, I make sure I get a massage pretty frequently. I eat really, really well. I have taken up Tai Chi because my acupuncturist kept telling me constantly I needed to do this. And I was like, isn't that for really old people? And he said, no. And so I was like, okay, I might as well give it a whirl. And I have found that to be very, very helpful. I found it very odd when I began it because I'd never done anything like it. But now that I've been doing it for many months, I find it extremely calming, and it's calming both mentally and physically, so I'm really liking that. So I've chosen to try to bring things into my life, the same thing that happens when I listen to music. I choose things that are very calming. I only watch movies that are uplifting or funny, and I don't bring things into my life or allow them into my life that are going to escalate the situation for me, because I know that will tap into anxiety, and I don't need to be there. So that's what I do for my own self-care.
Wow, that's wonderful, and there's a lot of lessons in that for all of us, I think. I love what you just offered to everybody, and I love what you do. And knowing you, I know that you are amazing in your ability to focus, stay in the present, and move forward. And staying in the present sounds so simple, but it really isn't. That's how we get things done. We don't know, you never know if tomorrow is even going to come, and yesterday
that's
is
right.
gone. And yes,
that's right.
Right. And we can plan for the future, but all we have is now. And now can be big or non-existent depending on what we do with it. So
right.
Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, let me add one other thought. I knew that you brought this up before we got on air, but I think it's important because with my husband's situation, and there will be other people that have something similar to this that are listening, it's a very dire prognosis, but it isn't immediate. So, I know people that their situation has been much more immediate. It's been very dire, and then unfortunately they're gone before you can turn around. It's just and that's a whole different way of having to process for the people that are left behind. But for us, it's been, 9 months or something. And you find after a while that, time is marching on, and life, we have a lot of support, and I've loved that. But life is life, and it keeps going on. And so if you stay in that bad place, you're not going to live life. And even if this or something else takes us sooner than we wanted to go, you're still living while you're here. So whether you have cancer or whether you have some other disease or MS or something else that you're living with, you're still living. And if you continually worry today about what's going to happen tomorrow, then you've also lost today.
Absolutely. Such a great point. It's really, really true. And a lot of people, when they feel, or I would imagine, most people, when they first get the diagnosis, they think, oh my God, my life is over. But it's that realizing life goes on, and nobody is promised tomorrow. And
nope.
as we're saying, all we have is now. And I'm constantly inspired and amazed and feel blessed knowing the people that around me that have been diagnosed, and their willingness and ability to live with gusto and acceptance and humility in every moment they have. So thank you for that, Kathy. Gina, anything,
yes.
Any thoughts? Thanks.
Yeah, no, I would have to agree, with Kathy on the self-care thing, just taking a step back and carving out the time for yourself. And, for me, I come from a family of doers, and you're always supposed to be doing something, and you're always supposed to be doing it for somebody else. So for me, flipping that on its head and saying, okay, well, it's okay for me to, carve some time out for myself and, go for a walk or read a book or, talk to a friend or, just do something for me. Everybody else has, I give everyone else the space to do what they want to do. So why aren't I creating, that space for myself? So for me, that's, that's where the self-care comes in. Just, stopping the doing and, you know, just carving out some time for myself to either do nothing or to do something that I really love, whether it's to take care of myself on the inside or the outside.
Wow, that is so huge, what you just said. It sounds so simple, but that is one of the biggest challenges, I think, as caretakers, is that realization, I'm doing all of this for everybody else. What am I doing for myself? And as you said, carving out that time. And I think also as women and as caretakers, we often don't even either acknowledge that, or maybe we might have some guilt around it, or I'll, you know, put it on the back burner. I'll take care of myself later. I'll feed the fam, or I'll eat after I've fed everyone, or I'll go to bed after I've taken care of everything that needs to be done. Make sure the family gets to bed, the kids get to bed, everything that needs to get done, and then I'll take care of myself later. I'm strong. You know, that's one of the challenges of being a woman and a caretaker, is we don't feel sometimes entitled, or we forget, or we don't carve out the time to practice the self-care that we give, you know, we're concerned about with everyone else. And as IPEC coaches, if there are IPEC coaches listening to this, and other people may not really understand, so I apologize, but we have these energy levels that we speak about, and we're in level, we're talking about level 4, 3, and then possibly sliding to 1. 4 is where we are concerned, and where we just want to take care of everyone. That gives us a sense of pleasure and a sense of fulfillment. And level 3 is where we're coping and surviving, and that often comes into play because we're not even aware that we're sliding down, and we're just at survival and coping level. And then we can actually slide down to 1, where we're just at the effect of what's going on around us. And then sometimes we'll find ourselves not able to even do what we feel that we need to do, and we wonder, why am I so drained? So this is the self-care aspect is so very, very important to being able to be that caretaker that we want to be. I know that we lost some time in this show in the middle when we did get disconnected, and then apparently I thought we were still disconnected and we were back online. We had some technical difficulties. But anyway, I ran the show a little bit longer today because I wanted to give our co-host and our listening audience an opportunity to listen to more information. So again, I wanted to thank everybody, my co-hosts, so much for being a part of this great show. And I don't have much time to talk about upcoming shows. On this, the Life Coach Radio channel, we have some upcoming shows. We have on May 28th, Energy for Success. Let me see. Energy for Success, the Hidden Career Gems to Advancement with guest Dorothy Ballard. That's May 28th at 8 p.m. We have on June 4th at 3 p.m., we have Walk Your Talk with Leanne and Peter Shankman. And that's June 4th at 3 p.m. On June 7th, that's a Sunday night at 9 p.m., we have Mark My Words with the wonderful Mark Schall, who is a certified life and business coach. That's June 7th at 9 p.m. On June 25th, that's at 8 p.m., we have What Are You Willing to Do in Order to Be What You Want to Be with Deborah Mathis. Now, on our sister network, that's the Life Coach Chat channel, we have on May 27th, The Decisive versus the Fearful Leader. On June 3rd, we have a show with Barbara Hetzel and our fabulous host from today, Kathy Aquino, and Toya Loren. We have a show that is, let me see. see. That's at noon. And all of these times, by the way, are Eastern. I forgot to mention, on June 10th, at noon on the Life Coach Radio Network, will be my solo show. And that will be my debut. It didn't happen in April, I apologize, but it will happen on Wednesday, June 10th at noon. Please feel free to tune in. We love having you participate in our shows, and I am so grateful to both my fabulous co-hosts today, Kathy Aquino and Gina Costa, and we hope you will join us again in the future. Thank you so much. Goodbye.